Isn't it great? The weather is slowly getting a bit better. It's a bit fickle in Melbourne in spring. But, you know, the first thing that I guess we need to start to think about is even animals like snakes. You know, we're, even though we're not out in the country, there's still plenty of grassy areas and the foreshore trail as well along Bayside, backyards with lots of long grass. What we're going to start to notice as the weather gets warmer is that snakes are going to become more active. And this is actually quite a tricky time of year, because if you get bitten by a snake at the start of snake season, it's often a worse outcome because there's more venom. So it's really important to be aware of it now. And so, you know, I think it's great to keep your dog on a leash. You know, if you're going anywhere where you consider there may be snakes. I was actually at Keysborough Way one year walking my dog on a lead, thankfully, and there was a snake that we saw, and oh, he is as game as anything. He would think nothing about rushing headfirst into
and
that.
And having a go. Mm.
Yeah, and if I didn't have a lead on, I just think the motivation to chase would have been too high. So,
and
that,
if your dog is bitten by a snake, what's the first thing to do?
Yeah, the first thing to do is get yourself to the vets. So don't worry about trying to catch the snake or endangering anything like that. And when we think about, you know, first aid tips we might have been taught for humans, throw them out the window for pets. So, you know, sucking on a bite site or anything like that, no, is a no-go.
Well, we don't do that for humans anymore either. It's very dangerous.
That's right. You still hear the odd, you know, bit of advice like that going around, but absolutely not. Keeping your pet as still as possible would be the most important thing. So if you can carry your dog, that would be ideal. If they're too big to carry, just walk them very, very slowly. Keep them calm and get yourself straight off to the vets. They can do some tests to try to work out what snake, you know, might have been the one that's bitten, because the anti-venom has to be chosen very, very carefully. So if you ever have any doubts, it's much better to be more take more precautions, get straight to the vet, because at least your pet can be observed, but it does allow much more time for the administration of anti-venom.
What about that classic dogs in cars?
Oh, yes, that is a really great point. And even on a pretty mild day, the temperature within a car will rise pretty quickly. Now, something that we should point out is that there's some legislation here when we talk about this. So under the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, it's actually illegal to leave your dog in the boot of a sedan, and also to leave your dog unattended for more than 10 minutes when the weather is 28 degrees or more outside. So that, just thought I'd point out the legal side of things. But when we think about being inside a car, you know, there's limited air circulation, you know, that the temperature rises fast.
Very quickly.
Now, yeah, dogs have a challenge, because unlike us, they can't just pour out with sweat. You know, we can thermoregulate through sweating. Now, dogs do it a little bit through the pads on their paws, but really they control their temperature mostly through panting. So it's through evaporation. So, you know, you've got this car that heats up very quickly, and then you've got an animal that has a challenge keeping themselves cool. So you have to be really, really careful when it comes to cars. Even having the window down a little bit has been shown to have a minimal difference in terms of the temperature inside the car, and that's just because there's so little airflow. So really think about that, and I would really avoid having my dog in a car on a
absolute
hot day.
Just rule it out, yeah. And what about flea treatment? Particularly, we now know a lot more about the impact that flea treatment is having on our waterways.
Right.
What's the advice at the moment about, are we doing too much flea control?
Well, you know, fleas and other parasites will generally become more active in summer, because they thrive in hot and humid conditions. So, you know, the number one allergic skin disease we used to see was fleas. There's also environmental allergens and food allergies are a much smaller part. But because we've had such great flea treatments and people have got good flea programs going on, we don't see as much of fleas, but it's still something we've always got to guard against. So I advise people living in Melbourne to look out for flea control, intestinal parasites or intestinal worms like tapeworm and roundworm, but also heartworm too, which is spread by mosquitoes. So, you know, you can just imagine that with summer coming and more mosquitoes out, that the chance of all of these things are a little bit higher. So the best advice is to be on a good prevention program, and there's plenty of things on the market like chews and things you can take every month. Have a chat to your vet and find the best one that's, you know, the right dose for your dog.
Let me ask you about heartworm, because I looked into it a couple of years ago because I'd lived in Queensland and I knew about heartworm and having to treat the dog. When I moved my dog from London back to Melbourne, I looked into heartworm and I talked to vets and I read some papers, and the information that I got was, and I checked it with vets, was that yes, there is heartworm in Melbourne, But it tends to be dogs that have actually been taken for a visit up the coast and they've come back with heartworm.
Yeah.
So realistically, is it something we need to worry about, or again, are we over-medicating?
No, I would still worry about it because it's a hard thing to treat. You know, it's one of these things where prevention is so much better than cure. And, you know, it used to be something we would see mostly in the northern part of Australia, but with climate change and things like that, we're seeing more and more species of mosquitoes actually able to transmit it. So yes, you've got a much higher risk in say, Queensland, but you still have a risk here in Melbourne. And so I think, again, like, prevention's better than cure because of the nature of this. I mean, once a mosquito that's infected bites your dog, you know, these little larvae make their way to the chambers of the heart. And so you've actually got worms growing in your dog's heart. So when I think about that kind of thing and how challenging it is to treat, it's just so much easier to medicate. And I don't think that's an over-medication. I think that's being smart to prevent a very, very serious problem that could potentially be fatal.